Our lesson tonight is out of Ezekiel chapter 25, verses 15 through 17, God's punishment of Philistia for taking vengeance on Judah. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12, verse 19, in the King James Version, alluded to Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 35, when he wrote, quote, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath." Of course, that's God's wrath. "For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord," end of quote. However, contrary to God's judgment on the relative nation of Edom in Ezekiel 25, 12 to 14 for taking vengeance on his people, Ezekiel 25, 15 through 17 predicted God's destruction of the unrelated nation of Philistia for taking vengeance on Israel in its long conflict with her. We thus view this passage for application in cases where people who are not closely related avenge one another. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer before we get into his word tonight. Father, we're so grateful for your word. Thank you for the indwelling presence and power of God the Holy Spirit, who authored scripture and who illumines the word of God to us so that we can understand it, and then who equips us to live it by his power as we rely on the Lord. Father, we ask for wisdom to understand in the text, and then to discern the truth that you're trying to communicate to us tonight, and then that we would have the wisdom to rely on your power to live it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, I want to read the verses and then we'll look at them. Ezekiel chapter 25, verses 15 through 17. "Thus saith the Lord God, because the Philistines have dealt by revenge and have taken vengeance with the despiteful heart to destroy it for the old hatred. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will stretch out mine hand upon the Philistines, and I will cut off the Cherethim and destroy the remnant of the sea coast. And I will execute great vengeance upon them with furious rebukes. And they shall know that I am the Lord when I shall lay my vengeance upon them." Okay, in Ezekiel 25:15, God condemned Philistia. Philistia is the nation of the Philistines, for acting revengefully, taking vengeance with hatred to destroy his people in Judah with a hatred that dated back a long time in history. Reviewing Israel's long historical conflict with the Philistines supports this divine complaint as follows. When Israel had conquered the promised land, she failed to drive out the Philistines, and God left this people group in the land to test whether ensuing generations of Israel's people would obey the Lord and gain victory over Philistia and other Gentile groups that remained, or whether they would fail in not trusting the Lord. That's way back in the book of Judges, chapters 1, 2, and 3. The Philistines were one of the people groups that they should have driven out, but God left them in there to test them. Accordingly, though Israel's judges Shamgar in Judges 3:31, Samson in Judges chapters 13 to 16, Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 2 to 17, and King Saul all battled with the Philistines, and Saul battled them in 1 Samuel chapter 13 and 14, 1 Samuel 28, 1 to 4, 29, 1 to 2 and 11, chapter 31, 1 to 3 and 7 to 10. Only with David's arrival were the Philistines finally defeated and subdued as a vassal state to Israel in 2 Samuel 5, 17 to 25 and chapter 8, verse 1. Now, when the Davidic kingdom split, remember it split between the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah, the Philistines rose up and competed with Judah for the control of one another until Jehoshaphat returned Philistia to being a vassal state to Israel. He did that in 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verses 10 and 11. Well, the Philistines revolted against Jehoshaphat's son, King Jehoram. They broke into the city of Jerusalem and they took away a lot of spoil, 2 Chronicles chapter 21, verses 16 and 17. Well, Judah's king Uzziah regained control over Philistia in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verses 6 and 7, but Philistia once again rebelled and invaded parts of Judah in the reign of Ahaz. That's 2 Chronicles chapter 28, verses 16 to 18. So there's been this long historical war, the seesawing back and forth and back. Well, this constant struggle between Judah and Philistia was stopped by the Babylonians' establishment of control over both nations, over both Judah and over Philistia. But the Philistines still waited for another opportunity to conquer Judah. The Philistines never gave up trying to eradicate the people of Judah and to cast them out. They wanted the land for themselves. So God critiqued Philistia's malicious spirit of revenge in trying to dispossess Israel of her conquest of the land that God had promised and planned to give her. It's interesting, in verse 15, the Philistines have dealt by revenge and have taken vengeance with a despiteful heart to destroy it for an old hatred. They had no business doing that because God wanted Israel to have that land. The Philistines hadn't had that property. They were down on the seacoast, but they kept trying to dispossess the people of Israel from the land that they had conquered. They had no business doing that because that land was for them, and it was from the Lord. Well, for the spirit of revenge, the Lord promised to stretch his hand over the Philistines, and using a play on words in the Hebrew text, to cut off the Cherethites. The cutoff is Hikrati, and the Cherethites are Keratim. So you can see in the Hebrew it's Hikrati Keratim. And that's another word for the Philistines, the Cherethites. If you go all the way back to Genesis chapter 10, where you have the nations, the Philistines actually were one of the descendants of Mitzrayim, and Mitzrayim was one of the descendants of Ham. Now, Ham was the group that was not blessed. It wasn't cursed like Ham's son Canaan was, but it wasn't blessed. So the Philistines were not of the sons of Japheth. They were not of the sons of Shem. Both of those people groups were blessed. They were of Ham. They were Hamitic. So they really had no business in trying to dispossess the people of Israel. The Lord therefore would execute great vengeance on them with wrathful rebukes, so that the Philistines would know that he was God. So in the intertestament period, the Philistines happened to disappear as a nation. Now it's interesting, in the day of Jesus, there was a woman, a Syrophoenician woman that Jesus crossed way up in the area of Sidon and so forth. So apparently they were scattering bits and pieces of these people here and there, but apparently the Philistines must have intermarried with other Gentiles in the area, but they lost their identity as a nation, much like the Edomites lost their identity as a nation. Well, to understand why God was so severe with the Philistines, though they were not closely related to Israel, we note that they, like all Gentiles now, were obligated to respect God's ancient Noahic and Abrahamic covenants. What's interesting, when you get into the book of Revelation in the Great Tribulation period, and one of the presentations there is an angel that has words, head and so forth, and that angel represents the Noahic covenant. The Noahic covenant, what a lot of Gentiles don't realize, is still in vogue, and all Gentiles, as well as Jews, are under that. And we're going to discuss that here briefly. But there's been tremendous violations of that covenant. And so God's going to judge. That's one of the things he's going to judge in the Great Tribulation. And there's another provision, I think, in Revelation chapter 12 that deals with a woman that has a sun in her head and a moon in her feet. And that represents Israel. And that gets into the Abrahamic covenant. But both of these covenants, there have been great violations. And a lot of us as Gentiles don't recognize that God is still, he's never forgotten those covenants. And so he's holding the Gentile nations accountable for them. Well, the Noahic covenant held that the descendants, primarily Shem, including Abram and Israel, and secondarily Japheth, would be blessed, Genesis 9, 20 to 27, while the Philistines, who came from Ham's son Mitzrayim, according to Genesis 10, 6 and 13 and 14, did not get a blessing, where Ham's son Canaan was cursed in Genesis 9, 18 to 27. Remember the incident that created this situation. Noah, when they came out of the ark, he apparently drank some of the grapes, the roots, the product of the grape vineyard, and he got drunk. And when he got drunk, he uncovered himself, so he was actually naked in his tent. Well, the two boys, and apparently from the implication is Shem, the oldest, is one who led in this. He led Japheth to come and backwards, and they went backwards so as to respect their father, and they took the cloak and put it over the father to hide the father's nakedness. But the younger son, Ham, he was the youngest. Apparently Shem was the oldest, Japheth was the second oldest, and then Ham was the youngest. But Ham was the one who looked upon his father's nakedness and boasted about it. Now, in ancient Semitic culture, if a person looked upon, or if a son looked upon the father's nakedness, that was an effort to demean him in order to establish superiority and control over the father. So this is usurping the father's role. So since he did that against his father, then justly the son of Ham would get the curse. That's how it fit in those days. So God put a curse on Ham's son Canaan, that he would be a slave, and that he would be a servant to his brothers and so forth. Ham was not blessed, but Shem was blessed the most, and then Japheth was next blessed next to him, apparently because Shem had led in this situation of hiding his father's name. Shem is the father of the Semitic peoples, and Semitic peoples would include not only Israel, but it would include others. In fact, Arabs are Semitic. There are certain Semitic groups, I believe, in the Mideast to this day. I forget what groups they are. It might be Iranians and Iraqis. They might have a Semitic. I'm not sure. But anyway, they were most blessed. And God has blessed them. A lot of them have a lot of oil reserves and so forth. And the Arabs have become a great people. They're also the descendants of Abraham. The Jews also are Semitic as well. But then Japheth was the father of basically the white races, Northern Europe and so forth. And God promised that Japheth would have his territory expanded. And it's interesting, the whites have expanded to whatnot. But they would live in the tents of Shem. The Shem would be the people who own the property, and that's true to this day. Even the Semitic peoples, the Arabs and Jews, many times they own the property, and the whites live in the property, you know, in the apartments and whatnot, and businesses. And that's the promise that God has given there. So the Philistines that came from Ham's son Mitzrayim did not get a blessing where Ham's son Canaan was cursed. So the Philistines were responsible to yield to God's covenants and not try to distract from the blessing of the seed of Shem or of Shem's blessed son of Abraham, the seed of Jacob. Now, they also have a covenant within the covenant. Within the Semitic covenant, there is a covenant to Abraham, who is one of the Semitics, one of the descendants of Shem. But that's a special covenant that God would make a special nation, Israel. Now, what happened is Abraham also had other children through Hagar and through other women. So the blessing of Abraham, to some degree, has to go with these. And these people groups are Arabs. But the primary, the son of the promise, is the son through Isaac and Jacob. So you have several levels of complexity. You have people that are the top of the chosen people of God are the descendants of Jacob through Abraham, right up there, Israel's. Then you have other people groups who came from Abraham who share to a degree in Abraham's blessing in Genesis 12, Arabs. Then you have the Semitic peoples that are broader than just the Arabs and Israelis. There are other Semitic people groups, and those are blessed as well. Then the next blast behind that are the descendants of Japheth. Basically, a lot of them are white and European and that. And then finally you have the Hamites. Now the Hamites were not cursed. The Hamitic people groups were in Egypt, going off into Africa, and we believe maybe in the Orient, we're not sure. It's very difficult to finger that, but they did not have the blessing because of what Ham did. But Ham's one son, Canaan, the Canaanites were under a specific curse. Now the Philistines were not of Canaan. They were of a descendant of Ham, but not through Canaan. So you've got all of these arrangements that God has set up in history, and he's holding the whole human race to it. So the lesson is, for an ancient hatred of God's chosen people with acts of revenge to dispossess them opposite the Noahic and Abrahamic covenants, God promised to stretch out his hand of judgment on the Philistines and destroy them. So an application, we got an interesting application. May we believers in Christ not take vengeance even on people not closely related to us, for vengeance on any human being is the Lord's ministry to perform. The reason for that is every human being is made in the image of God. How we treat another human being also reflects on God. So this is why it's extremely important that we be very careful to relating every other human being and honor and them. Unfortunately, this often happens. People in families or extended family groups who often take them for granted. We shouldn't. They're made in the image of God. Number two, all people worldwide must still heed God's Noahic and Abrahamic covenants. And this has several applications. First of all, we must respect God's primary blessing of Shem's line, followed by a lesser blessing to Japheth's line, followed in turn by the lack of blessing to Ham's line, followed in turn by the curse on Canaan of Ham's line. I believe all the Canaanites now are deceased, or they've ceased to exist. Maybe they've intermarried with others, I'm not sure. Then B, all men of the world must respect God's blessing on Abraham's line, be they Jewish or Arab, because the Arabs are also from Abraham's line. So we need to be very careful. There's a tendency, even in America here today, often to have a negative view towards Arabs, primarily because a lot of them are Muslim. We have to remember, Arabs are descendants of Abraham. And to a degree, there's a blessing. They're of the seed of Abraham. So there is a blessing that extends to them. We need to be careful. And then C, most of all Gentiles, this would include Arabs, descendants of Japheth, other Semitics, and so forth, all Gentiles must respect God's blessing on Israel, because Israel is God's chosen people. The Philistines were trying to dispossess Israel, and they were trying to do it for a long time. That's what brought the intensity of the wrath of God out. God help us as Christians to be very careful and very kind towards the Jewish people. Even if they, as a nation, they've rejected Christ at this point. The Bible tells us that in the great tribulation to come, the nation is going to repent. The nation will turn around to Christ. Two-thirds of the nation will die. About a third of the nation will come through refined as gold. And boy, when the Jewish people get right with Christ, then God is going to bless the world through the Jew, and he's going to bless the Gentiles, because God's blessing flows through the Jew to the Gentile in the world. So whatever we do, we must be a blessing to the people and the Jewish people, whether they're saved or not. The Abrahamic covenant is still very much in vogue. God will bless those who bless Israel and curse those who curse her. So we need to be very careful, but most of all, we should never take revenge. Revengeance is God's business. Other people are made in the image of God. We need to respect them. And as Christians, the Bible says, owe no man anything but to love all men. That's Romans chapter 13, verse 8. So we have a duty, not only not to take vengeance, but to love all men.